Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady. Live only on Netflix.
You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah. Okay.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
It's only a kick. A jump. A block. It's only a serve. It's only a tackle. A run. It's only for the fans. After all, it's only pressure. You got this. Adidas.
At Evernorth Health Services, we believe costs shouldn't get in the way of life-changing care, and we're doing everything in our power to make it possible. Behavioral health solutions that also keep your projections at their best? It's possible. Pharmacy benefits that benefit your bottom line? It's possible. Complex specialty care that cares about your ROI? It's possible. Because we're already doing it. All while saving businesses billions. That's Wonder made possible. Learn more at evernorth.com/wonder.
One thing I Googled during Snake Talk, I Googled, mm-hmm. Googled state with most snakes per square mile. Can we, mm-hmm. could we each turn in a guess?
Mm. Wow.
Most square snakes mile. Per square mile.
Florida?
I'm not going to go some western state because they're all huge.
They're huge, yeah.
Yeah. Florida. I'm going to go a small state that I think is super infested. You know what? Man, I'm going to go with Alabama.
I'm going to go with South Carolina.
So that's pretty good because... In artillery terms, you bracketed the state. All right, you okay. surrounded it.
Are we in it?
That's right. According to Wikipedia,
God damn!
Georgia's number one. Arizona is number two.
Sure.
Oh yeah. My God! Oh. Arizona's huge.
I will yeah. consider it.
That's a lot too of, many.
That's a more lot. Snakes than people in Arizona.
That's too I'll, many snakes.
Those are no. recreational snakes. It's different.
This, so they're in friendly. In they're Georgia, friendly. It's 15.7 snakes per square mile. I'm assuming the Okefenokee is doing a lot of work here. Arizona's
so
15.2.
There's baby copperheads.
Yeah, we got
deck.
A few
it's
in
fine.
Our island in the front yard. We got a yeah. few in there.
Who's
yeah.
the bottom?
You know, let's go ahead and click on
is
Wikipedia.
It Alaska?
Now, this is what this show is all about. This is my favorite part of the show. I love it because on the wiki page, yeah. there is no link cited. I don't give a shit. It's valid. It's facts. Yep. It's on the internet.
Yep.
It says so right there. It's got to be Alaska, right?
Well, I was
I
thinking
think
that's
so.
A lot of woodlands, though. Like, what if it's a state that is mostly urban and small, like Delaware or something?
Or just cold as shit?
There's probably so few snakes in Delaware, they all have individual names. Like, that's Elliot. He's a king snake. He's pretty cool.
Also, one other thing. I was going to run through a list of historical shoe throwings, because
oh,
there's also a wiki page on this. So this is actually a very, like... Based on scanning this list, this is a prevalent form of disagreement in Pakistan, for instance, in Taiwan, lots and lots and lots of instances. There was also the time Nicki Minaj, Cardi B threw a shoe at Nicki Minaj. I don't know what the dispute was over. That's it. We're moving right along. Justin Bieber was pelted with a shoe for refusing to sing Despacito. Next. Hayley Williams of Paramore was hit in the face with a shoe. We don't like that one.
How dare y'all?
There was
so
a...
after George yeah. Bush, the famous one, right? Mm. When someone threw a bush at threw a shoe at George Bush.
Threw a bush at George shoe.
Threw a bush at George shoe. This person, the person who threw the shoe, had shoes thrown at him.
Wow.
In fact, later on, and he mocked the person for copying his technique.
Biden is everywhere.
In the year 359, the Roman emperor was giving a speech from a small hill to a group of Limigantes to ask for their loyalty when he was hit by a shoe thrown by one of them. The thrower shouted words that mean signal of war. And finally, in Psalm 60 and Psalm 108,
bring it on home.
We're going to on Edom, I toss my sandal. This is basically a way of insulting the Edomites. We're throwing our shoes at the Edomites. The Lord himself is throwing. Which, if God throws a shoe at you, yeah, that will fuck you up. He's got big feet, right?
Can't believe God threw a shoe at me this week.
The sandal of the Lord.
Do I have to prepare for Dan Mullen, the finest football mind in the land, also God is throwing shoes at me.
They smell terrible, but I praise him.
It'd be great if we just resolved and started all conflicts with throwing shoes, the drive-by shoeing, the like sudden, like that would be the best, like, hey.
Drive-by shoe, you really gotta want that because you gotta wiggle all the way down around to the pedals to pull it off.
Mm-hmm.
Oh no, I would just keep one in the center console.
One?
That's my throwing shoe. Well, yeah, listen.
You gonna go get it? Is it gonna come back like Mjolnir?
No, I'm just saying I...
Mjolnir.
Welcome to the Shutdown Fullcast. You are listening to the internet's only college football podcast.
You're sad about it being a podcast?
Hey, buddy. Hey. Good evening.
Hey. We're gonna...
So listen. There are things.
Yeah.
A number of things have happened.
Mm-hmm.
Can we talk? Are you?
I'm good.
Do you need? When you say I'm good, do you?
It's funny. It's funny. We can talk about it. No. It's funny.
Oh, okay. Are you sure?
I'm sure. It's funny.
Oh, thank God. That was the funniest fucking thing I've ever seen in my life. Okay. That's my favorite thing that's happened all year. Okay. I wasn't ready to blow up the show over it, but oh, Jesus. I've never laughed as hard in my life.
I will be honest.
Oh, can I tell you what my favorite part was about it? Can I tell you my personal favorite part about it?
I can't stop you.
No, you can't. You can't. My personal favorite part was the ref squaring up like he... Oh, what do we say? What have we learned to tell our children? Don't be a meme. Don't get memed, kids. Don't become a meme. We say it to loved ones and our own family. We say it to our friends. We say it to strangers, children in the stands. And you can see that ref felt the weight of history on his shoulders as he kind of ruffled his invisible feathers. And like he knew what he was about to say was going to get played 20, 40, 60 times on SportsCenter. And he met that moment with gusto.
Mm-hmm.
My man was prepared. I do not know his name, and now I wish I did. Which ref was it? Because I remember in that moment, I was like, I wish it was Ron Cherry. And then when the moment was over, I was like, no, there is another.
My favorite moment about that in that particular series of officiating gestures was the official sighting 20 yards.
Yes, that part.
Saying exactly 20 yards, the distance that Marco Wilson in... committing a 15-yard unsportsmanlike conduct penalty, thus giving LSU a first down and putting them in position for what we will discuss later, an astronomical bomb of a 57-yard field goal in a driving fog at Ben Hill Griffin Stadium, Florida Field. He said 20 yards. In that moment, he gave you exactly... what
I didn't even think
know.
Shoes were aerodynamic enough to go 20 yards. I'm not sure I could throw anything 20 yards.
It's a longer way than you think.
Well, and the shoes aren't made to fly like this. Like, cleats are the opposite of aerodynamic.
LSU fans would disagree. The shoe was born to fly.
Mm. Mm. Anyway, I'm glad you're here on this side with us instead of on the other side where it's sad and weird. Anyway, there are other people on the show. I just wanted to make sure that you're okay. And I will recede into my help meet silence. Take it away, boys.
Yeah, I don't know. This is like, if you're going to... Ryan.
Hey, Ryan's here.
Ryan, hi. Ryan, it was funny.
Jason, good evening.
Hi, hello.
It was funny as hell.
It was like, look, I have a lot of soul searching to do about my...
It shouldn't take too long.
Thanks.
We just talked about being Catholic.
Oh, okay. Yeah, that's fair. I don't know, man. I thought it was funny right away. Like, there was really no part of me that was like, ah, fuck, or was like, ah, the refs hosed us, or like, ah, ugh, god damn it, why do you, like, I don't know what it is. Maybe it's just that, like, this year has been bad and stupid enough. Maybe it's just, like, how it happened, and how it's really how excited Marco Wilson was when he threw it, because it wasn't, Dan Mullen has said so many stupid things about this game and this play. But he said one thing that I agree with, which is that he was like, Marco Wilson wasn't trying to taunt LSU. And I think that is right. I think Marco Wilson was excited, found himself with a shoe in his hand that was not his own, and said, fuck it, let's throw this shoe. He didn't throw it at somebody.
He saw the gravity of the moment.
Yeah. Like, yeah. I think he was just like... He had never been in this situation before. Why not throw the shoe? I thought it was great. The second it happened, I was just like, that's the funniest fucking thing I've ever seen. And I can't be mad. Like, it feels wrong that just because it happened to Florida, I would, like, be a real piss baby about it.
Okay, I lied. I have one more thing to say.
Okay.
No. It's a question, and it's a question that I want to put to all of you, and I'm serious about it, because I plumbed my own delight. Ugh. Oh God, I heard it. Okay. I myself did a lot of soul searching. It's a shallow soul on my part, but it's quite wide, and I did a lot of wading in my soul last night, and I found the nexus of my delight. God damn it, I can't not say this. Anyway, mm-hmm. I was jacking off all night to the thought of this incident.
Wow.
But like mentally, right?
Mm-hmm.
Sure. No, that's not better. None of this is better.
Spiritually?
Ecumenically?
Yes. And there they go.
Oh, is that this? Happened again.
Here is the source. Oh, Jason, hey, I need a priest, an old priest and a young priest.
Wait, you guys dropped out for a second.
Y'all's audio dropped out.
Oh, thank God. I think God actually cut out what I was trying to say there.
Okay.
Are we back?
Yeah, but where
did
do
the
you
part
want
about me jacking it to
that
Florida?
Part's in.
Okay.
Yeah.
No,
thanks.
That was in there.
Cool. But the point that I was, man, I can't say anything now, can I?
No.
Anyway. Here's the reason I love this so very much. I have a question to put to all of you. When is the last time you saw something completely new in a football game? Like, completely new that you had never seen before?
I mean, I know the answer because it's still stuck in my mind. It is Auburn attempting to fake spike the wrong way.
That was this year.
Okay, yeah, you know what? I'll take it. I will take two completely new things in exchange for this shitbird season of a year that we could not return for store credit, even though we tried and we tried. But how often when watching this game do you get to see something completely new that you have never seen before?
You know what?
This actually yesterday looks a little bit better in relief, because you say that there were two things that you saw this season that you'd never seen before. I saw something happen yesterday that I had not seen before, that happened before I watched Marco Wilson chuck a cleat.
Which happened.
20 yards through the fog. That, you know, some say that shoe never came down.
They say his spirit still walks these halls.
The third thing I saw this year that was completely unique, and the second that I saw yesterday, was in the Ball State, Western Michigan game.
Yeah.
When during a lateral sequence to a desperate lateral sequence to try to get the ball down the field on the final play of the game, apparently they just decided the game was over. And and Western Michigan, Ball State, or it was Western Michigan, just took the field. Just rushed the field, just out there with a live ball carrier, just chucking it around. And I realized it was like that scene in any bank robbery where you run out and there are 1,000 clowns, but you dress like clowns, so nobody knows who the clown is. That's what it looked like. Nobody knew who could tackle whom.
Yeah.
It was breathtaking.
With coaches on the field like a fucking Pop Warner game.
It was like, I am Spartacus. I too am Spartacus. Who shall tackle me?
The thing
it's
about,
like a multiverse Spartacus.
Yeah.
The thing about Marco Wilson throwing a shoe is that the refs didn't hesitate. They didn't like take a second to be like, wait, what the fuck just happened? They were all like, nope, not okay. Immediately not okay.
I will turn this car around.
That's a point of emphasis. We discussed that preseason that officials were definitely not going to allow people to throw the shoes of the opponent down the field. We were going to crack down on that.
But they didn't. It's not in the rule book.
No.
Not a single mention of throwing a shoe. This was an interpretation. These were activist judges on the field making up laws on the fly.
Okay, so
nothing was
that,
consulted.
So on that note, I have a list of items that are near or on the field that could be thrown.
Oh, thank God.
And I want to know, Jason, you can be the judge here. You have the strong feelings about the rule book. I'll list an item. You tell me if a player threw it after the ball was dead. Is it unsportsmanlike conduct? I'm going to start with an easy one. A helmet.
Whose helmet?
Just a helmet. Player chucks a helmet 20 yards.
Gonna need more details here.
Player throws a helmet 20 yards away
Is it my helmet? Because if so, then I must leave the field for one play. If it's an opponent's helmet, then I have wrenched it from his head.
What if it's a teammate's helmet?
Someone is dead? A dead man's helmet? That's dishonorable.
The play is dead. The
is there is a head in the helmet?
No, it's just a helmet.
Are you
A helmet has materialized in my hands.
I'm not saying you did it. I'm saying the same way Marco Wilson did. Marco Wilson throws a helmet 20 yards, not towards the opposition, just chucks it 20 yards. Right. Is that a flag?
Well, I don't mean that? I, the judge, have thrown the helmet. I'm using that as a manner of speaking. But
maybe.
To me, this all goes back to where the helmet came from. I cannot rule on this.
Okay.
No verdict.
A penalty flag.
Is that a legal term, Ryan? No verdict?
Nope. Not at all.
I believe on this show we call it nol contendere.
What does the judge say when he's just like, I don't know, y'all figure it out.
Like mistrial feels pretty good.
Okay, yeah. The first one's a mistrial.
Old mistrial.
Old mistrial. Yeah.
There you go. A penalty flag. Marco Wilson throws a penalty flag.
In that point, you're impersonating an officer of the law. So I think you would have to be flagged. At that point, though, you would have to be notified of that flag via another flag. This could go on forever.
Sure.
Oh, shit. What if a player just stood there pulling flags out of his uniform like the magician just throwing them back at the official?
That's the official.
I think it would be a war of attrition at that point. Who's going to run out of flags first?
Yeah, that's the officiating equivalent of, you're out of order.
No, it's the officiating equivalent of the, you want to add another week to being grounded, young man? Yeah.
Okay, Jason.
Fine, good.
Marco Wilson picks up a pylon from the end zone and chucks it.
Yeah, that's redrawing boundaries.
So like, that's a penalty. You're fine.
Absolutely. He's going to pick it up and carry it.
That's a war against
geography. Okay. Now we're creating trapezoids.
Okay.
So that's damaging network property, too, because there's a pylon cam.
Okay. Marco Wilson and a teammate pick up the first down chains and javelin them down the field 20 yards. You flagging that?
At Florida of the last decade, it's impossible to imagine like the first down marker traveling 20 yards at a time.
This is like this season has.
I really hope
happened.
There's somebody out there making a wish list.
I mean, most of the last decade was most of the last decade. 1 year doesn't erase everything, pal.
This 2020 has erased a lot. 2020's fucking erased a lot. All right.
Sorry, but your team didn't score enough points in a game. Not the first time that's happened.
Okay,
we're gonna flag that. You can't
erase a lot of my personal sexual boundaries. You know, what? I'm sorry, we were having another conversation.
Last example, this only applies if Florida is playing South Carolina. Marco Wilson turns and chucks Sir Big Spur 20 yards down the field.
Like,
yes.
There's the live
rooster mask.
Like fucking Super Mario 2. Yeah, yes. If he does that, that's fine. He'll get away with that. That's fine.
Like, it's like Zelda throwing a cuckoo.
I think that is what I'm picturing. Yeah, I'm picturing Ocarina, and if he does it on a hill, if he takes Sir Big Spur to Clemson, jumps off the hill with Sir Big Spur in hand, he will flutter all the way to the 50-yard line.
On the 50-yard line. That's right, and that's how you get the light arrow.
And
Clemson.
That will not be penalized.
Not penalized. Okay, good to know.
So the only thing you can throw is a fire
Sir Big Spur.
Sir Big Spur,
and maybe a helmet. Unclear.
By the way, the idea of you jumping off the hill at Clemson and riding a chicken down to the 50-yard line, that's killing me, but only because I also imagine some hunter in a tree stand 50 yards away immediately training up, like getting a bead on
you. He's been waiting for this moment.
He's like, at last, I knew somebody would fly a chicken down. The prophecy has been foretold.
South Carolina paratroopers are here. It's time.
Dabo got shooters.
I didn't know South Carolina believed in aerial flight.
Only on chickens. Only with chickens.
Mm. No, because fighting chickens don't fly.
Like what? Like North Carolina first in flight, South Carolina last in flight.
Yeah,
Carolina prove flight.
you all gonna leave the ground, and we shall inherit it.
I'll fly when you pry my cold dead feet from this earth.
Marco Thomas is like, challenge fucking accepted, friend.
I mean, they have two mascots that are flightless birds, right? In state. Fancy chickens, boat crime chickens, and regular chickens, right? Mm. And that's for a reason. Also,
the Wofford Terriers can fly, though.
Very low to the ground, though. Very low to the ground.
When they're playing Florida, sure.
Like A-10 warthogs.
Yeah.
This is our best show. Let's just end it right there.
I will say this. I don't really...
All right, folks. I tried to stop it.
I can't think of anything better to end an absolutely horrendous loss on, because at least it's memorable. At least it's funny. At least it gave you something where you go, that's a new rich brand of incompetence. Because otherwise, it just would have been LSU winded down the field. Maybe we go to overtime. Things get even stupider because, frankly, you just felt due for something extremely stupid. Kyle Trask gave up 3 turnovers in this game. And they were all dumb, including a ricochet interception off somebody falling out of bounds that went to somebody who immediately popped up and caught it an inch away from the sideline. To stay in bounds, something I've never seen. Okay, that's 4 things this year that I've never seen before. I've never seen somebody come out of a full plank on the ground and then get upright, basically doing like a GHD sit-up without the machine to pop up and catch the ball in position all on one play. When that happened, I was like, oh, we're in for a dumb one. It's just dumb as hell.
My moment was when LSU scored the easiest touchdown probably they've had all season with 33 seconds left in the first half, thanks to Florida blitzing not one, but both cornerbacks. Were the cornerbacks at all close to the quarterback?
No!
Fucking no!
Spencer,
they might as well have been selling fucking popcorn in the 5th row.
No, that's a violation.
That's true.
They're in uniform. Spencer, I have a question. You have taken football coaching classes at the University of Florida?
I did.
What the fuck?
Yeah, they didn't teach us that one.
Okay.
They didn't teach you teach you double corner blitz.
Why are they called corners again?
Because they're in the corner of the field.
Okay.
Because you don't need them.
Because they can't see them coming except out of the corner of their eye.
Because a football team's a family, and a family's a circle, and a circle doesn't have any corners.
Oh,
that's
Jesus,
why I blitz both of them.
We're back to trapezoids again.
Todd Grantham's understanding.
Because when our blitzes hit home, they're going to have to call the coroner.
Do you know how weird this was? This was so weird that it kind of obliterated all. You ever been mad and you turn up the music real loud just to kind of drown out your own thoughts? I was so busy laughing until my face hurt at this play that I forgot it was Todd Grantham's fault.
No, that's like
it transcended Grantham.
He calls those Aragorn blitzes. You know that scene in the Lord of the Rings where Aragorn has to run like 200 yards to charge at the army of oncoming orcs, and it takes a minute.
Yeah,
right?
No, yeah. You know what happens? Nobody goes after him.
Yeah, no.
They're like, look at this fucking dude. You have a horse. Why aren't you? No, this shot is stupid in the movie, and it's stupid here because Aragorn is on a horse, and then all of a sudden he's just running on his own human feet towards the gates of Mordor.
Yeah.
Where's your horse? You made Ian McKellen run. He's old.
If this ends with a woman, with a woman in a medieval helmet stabbing Todd Grantham in the chest and screaming, "I am no man!" Like, then it's worth it.
Well, if that happened, Dan Mullen would just sit her for the Charleston Southern game.
He does those 5K blitzes where he's like, "I've been training for this. I think I can get to the quarterback in under 28 minutes. It'll be a personal best."
Just
like Return of the King. We'll be there
Explode!
In 3.5 hours.
Yeah. It's like the last fucking minute of any Mission Impossible movie.
Yeah.
He calls those Martibus blitzes where you're like, yeah, I don't know. It should be here in 15 minutes.
He calls those Martibus minutes because somebody's probably going to vomit.
Me, when I watch it happen. Called the double corner blitz against a freshman with a safety nowhere near the receiver to pick him up. Just like completely open on an unforced error. That's it. Like,
I'm not sure that was an error. It was so intentional. Which is why I want to know, what was... Like, this isn't rhetorical. What was he trying to accomplish?
There was one spot on a completion in the first half when Marco Wilson's playing 15 yards off a receiver. Like, why are you playing 15 yards off a receiver with a freshman quarterback?
Hey, that's within shoe range.
That's true.
Well, did we know that at the time?
No, he did.
Marco's playing mom back. It's like, yeah, I'm gonna take this shoe, wing it at their head. I got it.
Yeah, I mean, the shoe, if you didn't love it on site, then it's hopefully you love it by now. Hopefully you've gotten right and learned to love the shoe, because, like, among other things, obviously it is instantly hilarious and it's an iconic way to lose a game, and it is this year's peeing in the end zone of the Egg Bowl.
Yes.
Also, it takes stupid pressure off of Florida. Now you can just lose to Bama and go home. You were going to have to face Bama with hopes and expectations? Fuck that. What a horrible idea. Now you just get to just straight up get your asses kicked by Bama and no one will even notice.
It is very funny.
Don't y'all want to go home? Go home.
It is very funny seeing, like, Florida fans, but also Florida State and Georgia fans being like, ha ha, Florida just fucked up their playoff chances. Like,
right.
I don't think that's really how any of this works.
Right. The odds didn't change because I think the odds of Florida, like, losing this game, beating Bama, making it in, are about the same as the odds of Florida beating Bama, period. Yes. It wasn't going to happen, so throw a fucking shoe.
Yes, because, like, what is somehow missed in this calculation is that if there is no shoe thrown, and even if Florida wins this game, Florida still basically needed either overtime or a last-minute drive to put away an LSU team that is without most of their top talent entering the year, that has been, like, shitty all year, and, like, that they should have easily put away. Like, it doesn't change the fact that this is not a Florida team that looked like it was going to compete with Bama. That's not different. You know what is different? Throwing a fucking shoe 20 yards down the field.
Yeah. Like, be happy. This Florida team won a division and did something awesome that made everyone laugh.
That's cool. Here's the truly funny part that I thought about this morning. Florida doing this didn't even put Georgia in the SEC championship game. That's how stupid of a season Georgia's had.
Oh, that's a terrific point.
Yeah, all you did was tantalize Georgia. And make them wonder where it all went wrong.
Also,
don't tease them, y'all. They got bad hearts.
Also, let's play long term here, okay? It's not like Florida and LSU necessarily have to compete for survival. This is the cross divisional game, but it is not one that determines whether either one of them goes to the SEC championship most years. So one team can lose it, one team can win it, and generally everyone's hopes, if you've managed everything correctly, are still alive for all the big stuff. Now, with that said, the unnecessary malice that Florida has unintentionally committed here.
What a new experience for Florida.
Is that we managed to make Bo Pelini look good.
Ooh.
We did.
Yeah, y'all got some shit to answer for.
No. We're going to take credit for that. Congratulations.
I don't totally agree. How many yards did Florida have in this game?
609.
Okay, so like...
Wait, what?
Yeah. 609 yards of offense.
Here are all the things that had to go wrong.
In the game?
Here are all the things that Florida fucked up to make the shoe matter. They went for it on fourth and goal from the one and got stopped. They threw a pick six. They threw an interception inside the red zone, the one Spence already talked about. Twice they had first and goal and ended up kicking field goals. They had that double corner blitz touchdown that they allowed. Two plays after that, they fumbled to give LSU a 39-yard field goal at the very end of the first half. And then LSU had to kick a 57-yard field goal, and Florida had to miss a 51-yard field goal. Like, but if you don't look at that as, man, Florida fucked up so many ways in this game, and instead look at the narrative support that both sides came together to make the shoe a meaningful moment.
Yeah.
Like, then it's just good drama. Then it's just, like, a really well-written action caper.
Yeah. Uh-huh. You know what I also hear in that, Ryan? The Bo Pelini, stats be damned, turn this defense into a winner.
Sure. Hey, man.
I think they better hold on to him.
I think Auburn should hire him.
No. Whoa. Whoa.
I'm just trying to...
Auburn fans, as you are preparing your mail bombs... please note that you can reach Ryan at the following address.
I love that we're trying to commit a small act of malice here, and you're like, no, let's go big. Let's hand him to the program.
Ryan, that's my thing. Oh, wait. Okay, yep. I'm the one who moved up to being irretrievably horny on Maine for the show tonight, so Ryan is taking over my role. Also, I'm sorry about that. Somebody brought up Jeff Fisher earlier today, just set me off for the whole day.
Spencer.
It's the Discord's fault, which you can join for $3 a month.
$3 a month.
For Moon Crew.
That's
Spencer,
it.
have you ever seen the 1995?
You're not even going to finish the ad. Okay, fine.
No, Ryan's hopping.
I'm the only one who's being the Bud Elliott here. Just saying. Spencer.
Mooncrew.substack.com.
Thank you, Jesus Christ.
Spencer, have you ever seen the 1995?
Ooh, Jason, is it raining at your house?
It's raining.
It sounds nice.
It's been picking up. I first heard it through... the mic, which is really fucking with me, because these headphones are really noise canceling. Yeah. So I was hearing it through my own mic, and I was like, "What the fuck is wrong with this machine?" Oh,
it's raining.
It's
in
not
my
raining
computer.
Down here yet.
Ryan, were you saying something?
No, I was gonna ask Spencer if he wanted me to go through all the things that we're not gonna have time for on the show, just so people know now.
Yes. Yeah. Let's do it. These are all the things that we are not going to talk
about.
I want Ryan
them.
To sing this like the Animaniacs song.
I'm not going to sing at all. things we don't have time for. Arizona State beating Arizona 70-7 while only getting 17 first downs. That's fucking hilarious. Bama, by comparison, had 24 first downs in their 52-3 win over Arkansas. Another thing we're not going to have time to get to. JT Daniels now leads Georgia in passing touchdowns this season, despite only appearing in 3 of their 9 games. Good decision-making, Georgia. also not going to have time for UNC in their blowout win over Miami. Had 9 plays that went for at least 25 yards. In total, those plays gained 419 yards. And if you took all of them away, if you erased all of them from existence, the Tar Heels still outgained the Hurricanes by almost 50 yards. On the flip side, Army-Navy had 279 combined offensive yards, and Navy got shut out for the first time in this game since 1969. Iowa and Wisconsin went a combined 7 of 32 on third down, and... to keep it Wisconsin-related, for the last thing we're not going to have time for on the show, and a lot of people sent this to us, the Wisconsin Department of Health Services warned people in the state to please not eat, quote, raw meat sandwiches, which is apparently a Wisconsin tradition, and the Facebook users of Wisconsin refused to listen. They will eat raw meat. They will eat it in sandwich form. We don't have time for any of those things, though. Why don't we have time for those things, Spencer?
Well... it's a fire Gus year, y'all. I mean, we've been joking about the hiring.
No, we haven't.
The higher Gus or fire Gus
here. We've never been joking.
No, I mean, it's factual. Like, you know, is it a fire Gus year? Well, in the middle of the day, like a bolt of lightning from the blue, Gus Malzahn at Auburn, after dancing following a victory over Mississippi State in a video that circulated widely over the internet, giving the illusion of great happiness inside the Opelika metropolitan area and the regime that rules it, they fired him. They just fired him in the middle of the day. So Gus Malzahn is done. Auburn's an open job, y'all. And man, if there isn't anything that reeks of palace intrigue, skullduggery, and possible internecine warfare between boosters, it's an Auburn coaching search.
Sure did let him dance on video first, didn't they?
Just get it. They tweeted it from the official account. Like, go, Gus! Go, Gus! Go! You're fired.
I wonder if that was, like, the nail in the coffin where they were like, look how fucking happy he looks.
Let's dancing fuck. Out there like a Methodist.
Like a whore. Let's fire him.
You sounded like an evil preacher in a movie. Speaking of leading candidates for the Auburn job.
God damn it. Did we...
You freeze!
If a preacher in a movie!
Please send all complaints about sex worker jokes to Spencer Hall at 404.
I don't know! No!
One of these days I'm going to get this number out.
No! Oh, God.
That's 404.
No, no, you will not!
One day he'll accidentally give it out himself.
So. It's going to be great, I know.
I did actually want to ask, like, I was surprised. I didn't think everyone was.
We thought we had made it through with a keep Gus year.
If I told you you went 6-4 in a pandemic year, now I don't know, by the way, if we thought anybody was ever really going to get fired, because this isn't the kind of year where you expect athletic departments who are making cuts left and right and whose revenue has been severely dented by the pandemic all around. I don't think we thought that this was the year that people would take the money, which of course is already scrutinized in college athletics, and do things like buy coaches out. And we were wrong.
Isn't this true of like most of the things we thought about 2020? We were like, well, surely X or Y would be unpopular, or it would feel bad.
Was really a slap to our usual ironclad predictions.
like most of these, whether it's about football or not, they amount to like, well, that other person wouldn't do that because that would be wrong, or they would get yelled at. And the only lesson of 2020 is those people don't give a fuck. They're going to do it anyway.
Well, there's a lot of stuff that... Sorry, go ahead, Holly.
I was just going to say, I think the mistake we keep making is ascribing logic and reason to so many people.
Or feelings. Like, I think we are talking about people who are too rich to have feelings anymore.
God, I feel like great.
Back in, that's the goal, back in February, right?
Acorns.
Back in March, there was a lot of stuff where we were like, at least literally out of just self-interest, people were getting bored. But no, they would rather spend $21 million of their own dollars on getting rid of Gus Malzahn. This is a metaphor for lots and lots of other things that are not Gus Malzahn, that are far worse than Gus Malzahn. All things considered, Gus Malzahn was the least of our problems here in 2020. Gus Malzahn went 6-4. If America went 6-4 this year, we would have done way fucking better. We went 0-10, in fact. Actually, we went 1-9. We'll say 1-9.
Y'all will be happy to know that Saban is trending under sports right now, and Freeze is trending under politics.
Oh, God.
Oh, my God. Nick Saban was like, why did Auburn fire Gus? Nick Saban called Gus an outstanding coach and was like, sometimes you wonder why people do what they do. I've never heard him say this about anybody.
I'll laugh if they beat Auburn by like 900 next year, and he's like, "That's for my friend Gus."
That's for my friend Gus, best dancer I've ever.
Oh, wait, no! He should hire Gus.
He's gonna bring him into the Nick Saban home for rehabilitated coaches.
Right, but he doesn't even need rehabilitation. He could just like he could give him a good job right away.
Yeah, he could take Butch's job
after Sark takes the Texas job.
Yes, there you go.
Yeah, because we did get the, hey, Tom's our coach until January.
Yeah. I mean, because signing day is in 3 days. That was the
Texas.
So as soon as those young student athletes are locked in for the upcoming year, that's when you go get Sark.
Auburn didn't even do that many Auburn-y things this year, did they?
Mm-mm. I mean,
Jason identified the one thing.
Well, Bo Nix did a lot of creative stuff that we loved and enjoyed.
Yes.
But they lost to the teams they're supposed to lose to, and then they had one bullshit loss to South Carolina.
Yes.
Which I think for that reason, bring in Will to finish the job. He's an Auburn man.
Cool. Yeah. By the way, that is the most, that joke, this is the thing, that's giving another, we could just go ahead, in that universe, you could just go ahead and give Will Muschamp another $10 million not to coach. You could hire him, sure, or you could just cut to the chase and write him a $10 million check and say, please don't coach.
My favorite thing about Auburn Muschamp jokes, and we do this once a year or so, is they're not jokes. There's lots of rich Auburn people who really love Will Muschamp.
Mm-hmm.
That's true.
Because they have his haircut. That's why.
Boy, he's like me, just 25% wider.
I like the way that man wears a belt below his belly.
Sure.
I also will tell you this. I don't, in the long list of terrible things that have happened this year, if you said, give Gus Malzahn $21 million, that's not the worst thing. Because, one, that's not my money. Two, it's an appalling amount of cash. But I know this. Gus Malzahn has no vices, interests, luxuries. He has no gambling problems.
Time to
get some. No, if you give Gus... If you give Gus Malzahn $21 million, do you know what you're going to have next year? You're going to have $21 million plus whatever the basic checking account he put it in. Right?
0.01%.
That's it. The dude already has enough money for the rest of his life. If you hand him $21 million, he's going to go, I don't know if I have room under the mattress for that.
It's actually not an interest-bearing account, but... If I keep the balance high enough, they don't charge me fees.
So first thing, imagine in January if we had said, Gus Malzahn will defeat the defending national champions by 37 points and be fired. I guess we would say, that sounds like Auburn.
You put it like that.
Yeah.
Other thing, Gus Malzahn, you have a whole lot of money and you need to invest it. You don't really need to, but it'd be nice to, because you could buy Auburn University and reinstall yourself as head coach, perhaps. I have a exciting opportunity for you. Acorns.com/fullcast. The easiest investing app in the universe. All you do is you set it to forward your nickels and dimes from your regular purchases into a magic portal. You, Gus Malzahn, you shop for nothing but all-star specials at Waffle House. All-star is kind of a lot of food for Gus. I don't know if he's doing the whole
all-star. He's sharing it. He's packing some up to go. That's for sure.
Yeah, that's he's definitely doing can I get a take home? And that's
yeah. Or
lunch
doing the thing,
and dinner.
Doing the thing where he looks over the table and goes, no, you just get the eggs because I'm not going to eat the waffles. So
is Gus the kind of guy who says...
Am I Gus?
No, he's a parent. He knows what he's doing.
No, you talked about jacking off on this show. You're definitely not Gus.
It's not technically jacking off.
Hey,
you're not Gus.
Ryan, I believe in his terminology, it is the... the name of his fucking offense. What is it?
The hurry up, no huddle.
High speed, no huddle. Yeah. Anyway.
Yeah.
That's a bricked joke. acorns.com/fullcast. You throw in a few dollars a week. You throw in a few pennies from each of your purchases at Waffle House or otherwise. And what it's going to do is it's going to take those small trickles of money and it's gonna slide them into the investment portal, and you're gonna wind up with a larger pile than you had. Listeners know I started with $5, and with literally zero effort I'm up to $61.69.
Nice.
69 cents in honor of the point total that our Arizona State Sun Devils briefly had before they decided to take it.
Yeah, they should have knelt on that.
Just park it. Come on. Yeah, yeah. That's what we get for having a humorless an artless man as head coach of Arizona State.
Listen,
I want to be appreciate sophistication.
I want to be in the room when somebody tries to explain that to her. Why? Why 69?
Why is it nice? All sex is nice. I'm sex positive.
I mean, he's coaching Arizona
State.
Can we
get Herm Edwards on here so we can all stop? Like, the funny part about Hugh Freeze is not the sex work part. And I think Herm Edwards would stand behind that.
It's true.
Sex work is labor.
Acorns.com/fullcast for all your purchases.
Including
those ordained by Hugh. By Herm Edwards himself.
61-69. Damn, you got a Big 12, like a usual year Big 12 score in your bank account.
Yeah, I got a Big East basketball score. Yeah.
That acorn is becoming a sapling.
And that sapling will become a tree. And who has trees? Auburn does.
Well, mm-hmm. Sometimes.
Yeah.
Wow. Damn.
These Fuck. Days. They got trees for the moment.
Just not a coach.
Until they get mad. Saban has radicalized them. They're going to go
burn down
a tree.
Man, what the hell do they think they're doing? Like, Billy Napier's not fancy enough.
I was going to read...
Has there been a generational booster revolt or something?
I was going to read... I think that may be one thing happening here. Okay. I was also going to read this list of potential candidates, which I think...
Hang on. Can I tell y'all something weird? That's, okay, I guess we can keep talking about that. And then I want to talk about Arkansas for a minute.
Okay.
I've done something I may regret.
Speaking of things that you may regret later, these are names that were listed to watch by reporters. Name doesn't matter.
By CAA, I think is what you mean.
Probably. Okay.
What do you mean probably?
Here.
Oh, you have to go on television tomorrow. Yeah. Do you want me to read this?
Names to watch.
Here are a bunch of names that CAA is sending around because they have the same agents as a lot of writers and coaches. Weird, huh?
Names to watch.
Cool.
Mario Cristobal.
That's the big one.
Current head coach at Oregon. Hugh Freeze with a bullet. The second name listed, Hugh Freeze. The third, Jason, please sit down if you're not sitting down.
I'm sitting, yeah.
Dan Quinn.
That's a great choice. That's bald Muschamp.
I have an algorithm for this.
It's Militia Muschamp.
It's like I already fought this guy on. I already fought this guy at Punch Out. He's just bald now.
Troop Respector Muschamp. All right,
y'all stay with me here.
Yeah.
Dan Quinn. ESPN synthetic marijuana story.
Yeah.
Media conspiracy to take over Auburn.
Wow. Third eye open.
First.
Mm-hmm. Bo Nix overthrows third eye.
Our first Q meme coach.
That's not going to be the first, I promise.
No, yeah, no.
I mean, yeah, Mike Leach was pre-Q, proto-Q.
He was L.
Billy Napier of...
Yeah.
Which would be a fine choice, but I feel like Auburn's blue hairs are going to be like, he's a whippersnapper.
Yeah. This next one's actually the funniest. There's two really funny ones in here. Besides Dan Quinn. Scott Satterfield. Current.
Oh, that's Scott's actual agent floating that one.
I mean, I think he'll talk.
Oh, he wants out of Louisville so bad.
Also, Scott Satterfield is just Gus. That's just Gus Malzahn. You'd just be hiring. Like, he'd walk in and go, well, hi, everybody. How you doing? And they're like, no! Oh, God! You seem familiar. Yeah, tiresome! Brent Venables, who just kind of comes up all the time because he's defensive coordinator at Clemson, but he's not gonna touch this
Brent
job.
Is this really like for years when they were just like, Leonardo DiCaprio, let's nominate him for an award. He's not going to win it, but like it looks nice to have him in the panel of five on the broadcast.
Yeah, he's been Susan Lucci'd.
Yes.
In Emmy terms, right?
But I think he's probably fine with that.
Susan Lucci was deserving.
Like, this would be like if winning an Oscar was like, congratulations, now everyone's going to hate you for the next 4 years.
Tony Elliott?
Okay, that would actually be interesting.
It would be. I just don't know what the incentives he has waiting at Clemson are.
Mm-mm.
Also, do you want to be that dude at Auburn?
Mm-mm.
Right? Because Tony Elliott's at Clemson, which, as we know, is Auburn with a lake. It's not...
Is it that or is it the other way around?
I think that's right.
I think that's right. I think because the lake's right there.
People
Clemson.
Will let us know.
They're equally creepy about Jesus, which is usually how I differentiate these things in my head.
Let's just call them both that. Let's just say that.
Yeah, it's Clemson is Auburn with a lake. That's
Clemson
correct.
Is Auburn with a lake, and Auburn is Clemson with a lake and Virginia's uniforms.
And now we're going to get emails.
404-6.
No, don't. This is the other really funny one on here. You ready? Mm-hmm. Bill O'Brien.
Can okay. I say I don't hate this?
I
what are
don't.
You talking? What?
Hang on.
I don't.
It, okay. Because you don't like Auburn?
Shh. Dude, you're blowing it. It's Auburn. We're not on video chat here, and I can't make gestures at Jason.
Be cool, man.
God damn it, be cool.
Okay, they're going to buy it.
For reference, here are the places where Bill O'Brien has coached. Brown, Georgia Tech, Maryland, Duke, the New England Patriots, Penn State, and the Houston Texans. Auburn hotbeds all. Like, oh, boy.
I will say Bill O'Brien did a fine job when he was at Penn State.
That was honestly my first thought. And then I thought about some Houston things.
Yeah.
He did a fine job, but I think the most delicate way to put it is the job he was asked to do at Penn State is not a job. That's not the usual standard anyone is held to professionally, right? Mm-mm. Okay.
That was kind of an aberration. In terms of what he was supposed to be doing there.
Right, yeah. Right.
I'm saying in Bill O'Brien's job.
Yes.
Also,
that's
you know
not
you're
what
gonna...
he would be coming to Auburn to do is go 8-5 or whatever.
Also, you know you're going to lose him to the Panthers or the Chargers or some extremely mediocre.
Well, Auburn's just a pipeline to the NFL.
Yeah, there. See? Got to hire the next one.
Mm. I think the thing I really like about B.O.B. as a college coach is a college coach is also the GM.
Bombs over Baghdad, Auburn head football coach.
Yeah, but you can't do trades in college, so.
I'm going to cut you. At Auburn, that means I'll actually cut you.
That's what JUCOs are for, Ryan.
Yeah.
Mm. Damn, that's a good point.
And then the last candidate on this list, Mike Gundy.
There's somebody below. Oh, Jesus.
I was just waiting for it to land.
Mike Gundy. I just know that somebody's put together this list, right? And some alert goes off on Mike Gundy's unmarked burner, super gorilla mind flip phone that he has that the government can't see, right? And he picks it up and he dials it and he's like, somebody's making a list. Put me on it. Put me on it. Get me out of here.
T-Boone's in hell just banging on the ceiling with a broom handle next to Joe Jamel.
Joe Jamel likes it, though.
Gundy's watching Newsmax, and they're telling him, they're going to put us on lists. And he's like, oh, no, I don't want to be on the list. Then he hears there's a coaching rumors list and changes his mind quickly. Does want to be on the list.
Start seasons hot and then fucks it up midway through. Consistently getting whipped by his in-state rival.
Check.
Very prickly with the media. What else am I missing here?
Hair.
Yeah, okay. That's different from most. Yeah, this actually fits in a lot of ways.
Mm-hmm.
God.
Yeah, no, it could work. It could work. Also, likes to hunt snakes. Op is right there. The more snakes than you could ever possibly need in your life. That would be actually, if you said, Mike Gundy, what is your dream job? He's like, it's got to be close to my love and passion, which is snakes.
Snakes. The hunting and re-hunting of.
And taming. Taming.
Sure.
Be a friend and a foe to the snake. Never let him see which one's coming. They're both Mike Gundy. Pow. Yeah, that's a long, that's a list there of all of the people who.
So Auburn is paying $21 million. If that's Gus's buyout, I believe, right? So they're paying $21 million for the privilege of choosing. From that list that you just read.
Huh?
Mm-hmm.
How many coaches on that list would you hire over Gus Malzahn?
Two?
Well, Bill O'Brien for sure, I think. That
uh-huh.
one's clear.
Yeah, right. Yes. Definitely.
If you got a chance to get the guy who traded DeAndre Hopkins, Yeah, you got to do it.
I mean, like, Cristobal, we like him, but it seems 3-2.
Mm-hmm. I mean, Auburn, really, Auburn's hired people with way worse records than that. Gone way out of the way.
Didn't even have a good record at Iowa State when he got the job.
Yeah, and a lot of people have fallen into Cam Newton via blessings from above and thus turned out fine for exactly 1 year. Sure.
I think if 2020's taught us anything in the past couple of years as well, it's that Matt Campbell's proved that Iowa State's an easy job, though. So
yeah, sure.
It was even worse.
That is very funny. I was thinking about that earlier. Like, you're not seeing Auburn Matt Campbell. Because it's like, what, the only like people who sucked at Iowa State?
yeah, that guy? No. We don't want anybody who's... We want people who properly gauge the amount of work to put into a
humility.
Job.
Humility. We're looking for humility here.
Did you go there and suffer? We need you to be penitent.
No, Spencer, the penitent man will pass, remember? Which is about where the problem starts.
Yeah, on that list, the people I would hire over, hire Gus Malzahn over, or hire over Gus Malzahn, honestly, like Cristobal and Napier, and then maybe a flyer if I'm being daring on Elliott. That's
so I have one more
over Elliott over Gus.
I mean, maybe if I'm going long term, because like I don't know how much longer.
I mean, Napier's going to cheat his ass off in the way that they need to do it there, but over Gus.
So I'm now also realizing that in a year where Gus Malzahn got fired, Derek Mason got fired, Will Muschamp got fired. Those are all the SEC so far, right?
Yeah.
Probably.
Jeremy, at 10:30 on Sunday night.
Right. As of now, Jeremy Pruitt's not going to get
Seriously,
fired.
Seriously, what the fuck?
Is that's what I'm to understand, correct?
Maybe that'll change now that Gus is... Oh, no. This is what led me... This thought train this morning is what led me to imagining Phil Fulmer and Gus Malzahn trying to make small talk and realizing that there's basically a language barrier there. What would the noises that come out of their mouths even look like?
It'd be like two Charlie Brown teachers talking to one.
I think they'd get along great.
Maybe.
Well, if you got a fire, the thing is at Tennessee, it's not like Auburn where they just had to get rid of the coach. At Tennessee, you will have to get rid of the coach and the athletic director, who happens to be
that's not happening.
A legendary coach with deep inroads into the Tennessee volunteer community and a long
history
there.
Why would you have to fire Fulmer alongside Pruitt?
Because Fulmer is Pruitt's dude. Like,
no,
that's,
no, he's not.
No.
You think he'd do it?
No, he's not, dude.
And wait, are you saying...
When
like,
has Phil Fulmer...
Are you
in
saying
the history
Phil Fulmer will be like, I will go down with my boy. I love this boy, and I will... You will not.
How dare we
impugn the loyalty of Phil Fulmer?
When in the history of Phil Fulmer's life has he ever stabbed anyone in the back?
He literally compared...
Spencer, you're just arguing against yourself.
When? When has that
Phil
ever
Fulmer
happened?
Is some sort of opportunist.
Phil Fulmer, like a week ago, literally compared Jeremy Pruitt to Johnny Majors.
Well,
why
was
that significant?
They got along well, didn't
why
they?
Why is that a thing?
Because Phil Fulmer was there for Johnny Majors.
Side,
no problem.
My brain is
side
so,
by side till the end.
My brain is so broken because the second I heard, like, I like to think that this is all out of my blood, but the second I heard that Gus was fired, I was like, okay, we got to go get this guy. I was like, God damn it. Like, I had a long... Can I tell y'all what's been happening to me on the internet?
Sure.
Last night, I retweeted from user Camilla Gluh saying what I thought was a very reasonable scientific assessment. Here's the tweet in its entirety. Big Bird is too large not to be carnivorous. And I retweeted this late last night in the middle of, I don't know, some Pac-12 bullshit. And I woke up this morning to a bunch of dudes who had been arguing in my mentions throughout the night over whether or not this is possible. This is not even my tweet. And I tried to stop them 10 or 12 different ways today. First by pointing out, y'all realize this is a joke about a large puppet on a children's television show, right? And then by just inviting other people to come in and also argue with them in the hopes that they would tire themselves out. But a few hours ago, I did the real thing and I said, okay, this isn't going to put itself out. I need everyone to put their Auburn football opinions into this thread in the hope of smothering it with something else. If it's Monday and this thread is still going in my mentions, y'all please join in.
Big Bird for Auburn head football coach.
These people got to learn.
He's a legend.
I cannot possibly imagine, by the way.
Anyway, here's one of the tweets. Speaking of things that need a lot of protein to stay well, Felipe really rebounded from the ACL year and showed that he can contribute with a good scheme. Maybe not a great pro prospect, but finished well. So, anyway, this has taken a much more familiar turn. But if this thread is still going, everyone who's within the sound of my dumb voice is welcome to join in, because these people will not stop talking about mammals.
This is, by the way, like, I can't imagine anyone getting hired at Auburn who is at least not Bagman compatible, at least not a little comfortable. Like, because you're not, you got to figure out, by the way, at Auburn, like, how much you want to compete in state, because you're waiting on one thing to happen in order to be a national power again, and not just a top 15 kind of program, but like a top 10, top 8, top 5 kind of program. And that's, you need Nick Saban to receive a warning from God that he needs to stop coaching. That's it. That's the only thing that's
going to
get you.
What's a warning going to do?
Oh, that's a really good question. Like, if God was like, Nick Saban, obey, and he's like, I'd like to see it. I'm going to get what? What are you going
to
do to me?
I mean, the Bible is full of, like, God-given warnings. There would be like, ah, fuck off.
Yeah. That's because they were all like Nick Saban.
Entire book of Jeremiah telling Nick Saban to retire. In a hurry, retire. I'm more of an Isaiah guy. What can I say?
My shoes don't fit. I can't get my right drink. God's telling me to quit coaching. Can't get anything right today. Gonna get cranky. Gonna have to chew someone's ass.
The Lord's words going through my ears like a shit through a tin horn.
I mean, that you're right. That wouldn't do anything. He'd just go back and go, oh, geez, I got an email to send to God. Or somebody's going to send an email for me because I don't send emails.
Like, we don't have enough problems. I got to prepare for the Florida Gators offense. Dan Mullen, he's an incredible coach, an incredible offensive mind. That guy coaches circles around me every
and
time
now
I
they,
see him.
Now they put
and now
this,
God's on my ass.
Now they put this goddamn shoe play on film, and I don't know what to do with that. We got a scheme around that now.
This diabolical genius, Dan Mullen, greatest mind in all of football. Him and God, 1 and 2 in my book, and now they're both coming after me.
Dan Mullen's like, I agree with that ranking.
Our kids have said to us since we've moved to Minnesota, we are far more active than we've ever been anywhere else we've ever lived.
Moving to Minnesota opened up a lot of doors for us.
Just this overall sense of community, of values that, you know, Minnesotans have.
It's a real accepting, loving community, especially with 2 young kids.
See what makes Minnesota the star of the North. New residents share why they love calling it home at exploreminnesota.com/live.